When dismal forebodings, foreboding being a feminine noun, comes to visit at your house, maybe at first you let her in. She visits a while. You entertain a dreary, dismal conversation. She complains about the tea and you wonder why you ever let her in the door. Suddenly, Miss Dismal Foreboding picks up her cell phone and calls her very close friend, Mr. Calamity, a masculine noun, and asks if he wants to come over and join the party. You're whispering and mouthing to her, "No, no, no, no." But she continues on in her invitation, totally ignoring you. Shortly, there's a knock on the door, and there stands a disheveled-looking fellow with unkempt hair, like he's been in a wind and a dust storm both. Before you can close the door, he just barges in, hugs Miss Dismal Foreboding, with great dust clouds rising and settling in your house. You're thinking, what a terrible mess I've made for allowing either one to come in the door. And you think to yourself, maybe you can just shuffle them off to their own rooms for the night. They each retire for the evening, and as you lay in your bed, you can hear Miss Dismal Foreboding whispering through the walls to Mr. Calamity. They're talking about how terrible things might be if, and shouldn't have, wouldn't have, and might have been if. They're speaking fearful things which grip your heart, and you weep to yourself saying, why, oh why, did I ever let them in? Much less allow them to spend the night. When hunger overtakes us, it becomes the focal point. And if you're hungry long enough, it becomes an all-encompassing thought. If hunger overtakes us on a national basis, not only does it become the focal point, but it begins to be reflected in art, science, and education as a start. We see scientists searching for food sources. Art reflects the starving living and dead. Schools teach classes on food economy. The calamity of hunger invades all we do. When all we hear and see is calamity, we begin to focus on what did not happen to us, what God did not do for us, and it all becomes so intense it overtakes us, and there comes the sour, bitter taste about what did not happen. When the wounds which won't allow us to go on just envelop us, becoming the focal point, it colors everything and shades our thinking, influencing our very thoughts and words. Again, there rises bitterness, invading all we do, eventually becoming a huge drag on all our spiritual momentum. As the days go by, our internal and external calamity and dismal foreboding become our personal, national anthem every waking and every sleeping moment. I met an elderly woman named Gladys. When I first saw her, she was laying on her bed, her eyes shut and the sheets pulled up. It was a beautiful spring day and everything was blooming. I thought, maybe Gladys was dead. So I spoke to her in hopes she had not left us yet. From the pale, frail person under the sheets, there rose a thin, dry voice with sadness saying that she was still there. I asked her what she meant, and she said she had seen everything of this world she wanted to see and lived through everything she wanted to live through. It was all the worst she could imagine, and she was just done with being here. She said she was just laying there, waiting to die. I suggested it could be a while. After all, she seemed in pretty good health. She replied she didn't mind. She didn't have anything else to do, and she was willing to wait right there. You know, within a couple months, I received word Gladys had died. I asked how, and they said it was simply a failure to persist. The dismal foreboding and whispers of calamity ultimately robbed her of her peace and life. Proverbs 19:13. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. The Hebrew word calamity is plural, just like in Psalm 57:1, where the translators called it storms, plural, of destruction. The calamity seriously paints the picture of multiplied and diversified sorrows. And then there's the other part, continual dropping, that irritating, unceasing sound of dripping, 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 drop after drop of water through the chinks in the roof. The Hebrew word for water in this verse is about a sweeping storm, and the water blows in through the roof. That is a picture of calamity and dismal forebodings. I think dismal foreboding and pending calamity for many seem to come in multiples, and it just pounds and pounds until we cry out to God or we capitulate fully into anxiety and fear. There is a defining moment in the midst of each of our dilemmas to be had, if we're interested. If we had calamities pounding on our hearts and dismal foreboding is our constant companion, we are choosing. It doesn't have to be. We absolutely do not have to dwell in all that downward spiraling thought, which does no one any good. Honestly, so many things on the internet and news enthusiastically play into us learning to live with calamity and dismal foreboding. What a thing to learn. Watching someone fall down is funny, maybe, one time. But to watch video after video of some young guy falling and being crushed across a handrail, or watching a young woman shame herself or fall down over and over and over, simply put, it's not funny. Watching the bombs of allies blow up an enemy is one thing, but when it's video after video over and over until it is no longer about winning a war, but about the bloodlust which rises in us, not to mention we are becoming desensitized to violence, it's not funny anymore. Years ago, to watch any of the violent videos available would be abhorrent, and we would turn our eyes away. But now, we watch and laugh. It's not funny. Is it the thrill at watching the demise of another human, making fools of themselves, shaming themselves, wounding themselves? And here's the sticky statement. We can only watch and hear just so many violent calamities and witness just so many dismal forebodings before it begins to stick to us and we begin our own submersion into a downward spiral and negative expectations. It's not funny.